This is Haystack Help Radio on KLZ 560. Haystack Help Radio is powered by HaystackHelp.com. Finding help can be like finding a needle in a haystack, but with HaystackHelp.com, finding the needle just got easier. Now, Haystack Help Radio with Scott Whatley on KLZ 560.
Good afternoon and welcome to Haystack Help Radio. Thank you so much for joining us today. Well, Your Money Matters is back for 2023, brought to you by our good friend Kurt Rogers, an affordable interest mortgage. Got through all the holidays and some encore shows we ran, so we are back live and ready for 2020. I don't know if we're ready, but we're here.
I don't know that we're ever ready when we do this, Scott. We just kind of stumble, fumble, and fall forward.
I know, man.
That's all we do. See, there's a good example of it. That's all we do.
All right, looking back at 2022 real quick. Wow. Who would have ever dreamed, I don't know when things really started changing, but April, May, June, things were still
it was spring.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, in January, February, things just rolling along.
Everything was just kind of
kind of like when COVID hit.
And I'm going to kind of go over a couple of those things, where it started when it moved. But 22 was an exciting year. You know, from the beginning of COVID, and COVID has created a lot of this because of decisions that were made. But for those last couple years, it was so busy. It was insane because the rates were so low, mm-hmm. buying a home, and that's what drove so many things up. But all of that created the issue where we are now that's in the process of being fixed. I'm not saying I agree with the feds and what they're doing with the rates, sure. but that's part of the issue. But 22, we had rates, 2.875, 3.125 on a 30-year fixed. And it's like, that's wonderful. Then 2 months later, it's 6. It's like, how did they get there so fast?
Wow.
And you talk about, taking an 18-wheeler and getting them to stop. That's kind of what happened pretty mm-hmm. quick.
For sure. Well, as always, if you've got any questions for Kurt, hey, give us a call, 303-477-5600. So, Kurt, let's talk about rates and, man, kind of what you're seeing, what you're feeling here for 2023.
Well, some of the so-called experts say rates will continue to rise.
Okay.
Some of the other ones say rates will continue to decline. And then they want to know who's to blame for the rates, how they got to where they are. And I'm going to try to walk through that process as to where we are with rates, how they got here, okay. and how they're going to change. I believe, when I'm all done, you'll see why I believe rates are going to go down and where I believe they're going to go to within the next 6 months, 12 months, and a year. First thing we have to look at is what drives rates. Now, the feds have continued to raise rates for the last 7-8 months pretty consistently. And when they do, everybody seems to think that drives mortgage rates. It does not drive mortgage rates. And you're going to understand why it doesn't when we say that. It drives short-term car loans. It drives credit cards. But it doesn't drive mortgage rates. If you've looked at car loan rates, they've jumped up to 4% versus being zero.
Mm-hmm.
That's all attributable to what the feds have done. What drives rate historically is inflation. When inflation goes up, rates go up. When inflation goes down, rates go down. And we're starting to hear it now that inflation has started down, so everybody's thinking rates are coming down. Well, they've quit going up, I guess is the best way I could say it. They've kind of leveled out in the sixes right now. Mid-sixes is where they're staying. And I think they're going to continue to do that. But let's talk, what is inflation? A lot of people say, it's the cost of goods going up. It's too many dollars chasing too few goods. And I agree with that. It's also loss of buying power. If you were making, let's say, $30,000 a year and you had a house payment of $1,500, and all of a sudden your heating bill goes up and your gas bill goes up and your phone and your food, all that goes up, that house payment becomes difficult to make mm-hmm. because the cost of goods are going up. You don't have enough money to cover that. And that's what started to happen. So they raised rates because in order for people to buy things, they have to make more money. So the banks are the same way. Well, where's the money at? It's in the rates. So let's raise the rates so we can do that. COVID changed all that. It created inflation going north quickly because of the short supply of products, because of the lockdowns. Nobody was going to school. Most people, all the offices closed down. Well, all those expenses didn't go away, but all of a sudden everybody's trying to work from home or not working at all.
Mm-hmm.
Unemployment went to almost nothing because nobody wanted to work. The government stepped in and started kicking out money so people had enough to get by. That was part of it. We quit going out to movies. We quit socializing because we were the fear of COVID. We quit eating out. The cost of chips and cars and wood and everything started to go up. So inflation started to increase. And if you look at inflation in 2018, inflation was at about 2%. And it stayed 2% all the way till about July of 2021.
Okay.
Now, that's about a year and a half into COVID. And the reason that it started going up is because what I just said, there weren't enough supplies to meet. How many times did you look on TV and see all these massive ships with all that stuff sitting out there? And, I mean, it wasn't one or two or 50.
No.
It was hundreds.
Looks like a highway out there.
And you want to buy something, but you can't buy it because you can't get it. So what do people do? They raise their prices. So the cost of everything considered go up. Well, what happened at that time is the government, to try to help solve some of that issue, is they did what's called QE, quantitative easing. They decided to buy the mortgage-backed securities to keep the rates down. And they did that all the way through 20, all the way through 21, and partially into 22. And what changed was, as they saw inflation going up, and they realized that the only way to stop that train was to start raising rates. Because when you raise rates, people quit spending all the extra money to buy that. You know, how many times do we hear that a 2x4 was costing $15?
Mm-hmm.
Or a dozen eggs cost $4? That's because of short supply, big
demand.
Now
they're $9.
Now they're $9 because they're cage-free. My wife went to the store yesterday. She said, do you know all the eggs are cage-free and how much they are? I said, I didn't know how much, but I knew that was coming.
Yeah.
So we see that all the time. And that's what – so the government stepped in and said, we're going to keep the rates down. And they did until, like you talked about, April.
Mm-hmm.
They said, okay, that's got to change. So they started raising rates. And as rates went up, so did it, inflation. The two of them kind of worked together. And they were trying to curtail inflation. Now, when you look at inflation, inflation is the cost of goods that comes out of the percentage of money that you make. So as the inflation went up, the feds, when they look at the average inflation number, they look at it for the last 12 months. So if they're looking at it in, let's say, April of 2022, mm-hmm. they're comparing to what inflation was in April of 2021. And they're adding each month and dividing it and saying, here's what the average inflation is. Well, if you're looking at that chart, you can go back on inflation records. Inflation in 2021 was at 8% in June. Everything started going up. We talked about that.
Right.
Okay. So as it's going up, we were used to inflation being at a lower percent, but it started getting up to 8%. The average today is 7%. That's the average. But between June of 21 and June of 22, inflation rates per month have gone down. For example, in July, it was 3%. August, it was 2%. But then it kicked back up in October at 6% and stayed there all the way through June of 2022. So the inflation in June of 22 was about 7%. So that's why the feds kept raising the rates. They're trying to stop inflation. Now, think of it like a roller coaster. The feds are looking back the last 12 months. So if the peak in inflation is 8% in June of 22, and they're going to average it out at 7% today, that means that between now and then, inflation has come down. Inflation last month was at 3%. But we still are reporting average inflation is 7% because it's looking back
backwards.
A year. So part of the roller coaster is still on the increase as the mm-hmm. rates are going up, while the other part of the roller coaster is on the downcrease. Until that last cart gets over that hump, we're not going to see inflation start to go down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're getting closer to it because 12-month history shows it's moving a little.
Right.
You're not going to see a bigger change in inflation until probably March or April, because by that time, a year ago in March, rates were at 8%. They then started to go down, and they are now down around 3%. So over a period of time, you're going to see inflation come down. Is it part of what the feds did by raising the rates? Yes, that's part of it. But there's other factors that come into play that I'm going to talk about. But that's where I think rates are going to head as mm-hmm. time goes on. The question now becomes, what causes inflation? What are the factors that the Feds look at that have an effect on inflation? And we all have heard about this. It's called CPI, Consumer Price Index. And for the last 12 months, from December to 21 to December of 22, the CPI has been going up, which has caused the inflation to go up. And there's several factors that come into play. The core part of the CPI is the cost of things except for food, and the Feds don't look at the food, the cost of food, and they don't look at the cost of oil because they can't control them. Okay. They look at the cost of other things, and that's why the rates are going up. In the most recent 12 months, that's been at 7%. But what's happening now, it's starting to fall, and the CPX now numbers down to closer to 4%. But in addition to that, when they're looking, and like I said, when the Feds raise the rate, they're looking at all these things that affect the short-term rates. The CPI affects what's called 10-year treasuries. Mm-hmm. So the 10-year treasury is what actually moves 30-year fixed mortgages. And if you look at the history of that, there's always a difference of 1.75 to 2% between whatever the 10-year treasury is to what your rate is. And you can take that back 40 years. It's within 1.75 to 2% for the last 40 years. It's not going to change. CPI has a factor in that. Along with that, there's a thing called shelter cost. Shelter cost plays a role of about 39% into the CPI. I hope I'm not confusing many people, but these are the numbers that the Feds look at to control the rates for the short term, mm-hmm. and to control what's the 10-year bond, which is where the investment money is. People have to invest. The banks need to get their money out, because if you're not borrowing it, they're not making anything.
Right.
So they still need you out there doing that. And the government runs on credit. 90% of the money running around the world is on credit.
Sure.
It's not cash. It's sitting in the banks.
Right.
They're loaning paper. They're loaning, you know, when you go to buy a car for $60,000, they press a button and all of a sudden you're approved, you drive away, and not a dollar changed hands.
Yep.
It's just paper. So that has to continue because that's where the banks make their money to keep things moving. So as far as the inflation rate and the CPI coming down, they're going to start to make the turn. I actually have this chart. It shows that when we talk about shelter cost, shelter costs are the things to keep your home going. Remodeling. Well, when people couldn't go out and go to the movies, and they couldn't go out and socialize, and they couldn't basically take trips. I mean, nobody could take a cruise. It was like a Petri dish.
Sure. Yeah, exactly.
So nobody could go out. So all that money starts sitting in the banks. Well, now the people say, well, now's the time. I got money in the bank. Now's the time. So they started spending it on their homes. Wise choice. Home values are going up. They're improving their home, or they're buying more homes and fixing those up. So the shelter cost went from 1.9% in 2020 to 18% of the budget on the CPI. It rose drastically for the way people were spending all that money. Now, at the same time, remember, they're paying almost twice as much as they were before because of the inflation. Inflation has taught the cost of things to go up, and they're spending much more money to do it. So when the shelter cost goes up, that keeps the CPI up, which keeps the inflation up. It's a trickle effect. Well, now your shelter costs are down about 5.9%. They're getting closer down to being a portion of what your expenses are.
Right.
Because inflation, because rates are too high. You can't go out. If you look at a $400,000 house, the payment on that house before might have been $1,600. Payment on that house now is $2,600. Well, where's that extra $1,000 a month come from? Mm-hmm. Well, that means I'm not gonna be buying a new car maybe, or I'm not gonna be doing the home improvements that I wanted to do. I'm not gonna be traveling as much if I want to buy a home. So all of those things have an effect on what's going on with inflation and why we're getting there. And these things, I believe, are going to continue till about March.
Right.
What you're going to see in March, I think you're going to start to see inflation crack 7 and then crack 6 and start to go down closer to a 5 to 4%, and that's going to take all year. So over time, those things are going to happen to where rates are going to come down, because again, look at history. The only time that history has been changed is when the federal government stepped in COVID and forced the rates to be down. Mm-hmm. Inflation's going up, the Fed said no. Was it a mistake? No. Was it a mistake to carry it as long as they did? I believe so.
Right.
They should have caught on to it a little bit faster.
Sure. Before our break here, let me ask you, someone told me to ask you and I almost forgot, but with when COVID happened, they were excusing some the rental folks, you know, where they didn't have to pay rent. There were some mortgage deals that you could maybe tack on the end or whatever, or how that worked. Did you see now, are we seeing that cause any problems?
Well, the fact that the money wasn't paid, yes, because the banks didn't receive their money. The extra money that was thrown out there, mm-hmm. all that did was throw fuel on the fire for inflation, because inflation is, I've got all this money, and in order for me to spend it, I got to pay more money to get it, because we had a supply shortage.
Right.
We didn't have enough of whatever, toilet paper. Couldn't find it. It was, how many times you go to, and it was the craziest thing in the world. People were hoarding it, and it's toilet paper. But it was all the way across the board with everything. Certain things, the demand was so high on these things because people couldn't go to work. They needed to do certain things. And they're all sitting in a ship outside of California
mm-hmm.
or on the East Coast.
Right.
So that was part of it. And the government throwing money at the issue just put more gas on the fire, because now they have more money. And they said, well, I don't have to work. I don't have to make my mortgage payment. I can spend it on something else. Now, the people that had those mortgages that were running, they were in trouble because their lender's not letting them off the hook.
Yeah, they don't care.
They didn't care.
Where's our money?
And the surprising thing about that, because of the way many of those people had put themselves in position, they were able to withstand that.
Mm-hmm.
We have our foreclosure ratio is still down around 2.5% to 3%. The average is 5.5% to 6%. So our foreclosure ratio, even through all of that, has been very low.
Right. Kurt Rogers is our guest, Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500 is Kurt's number. We'll take a quick break and be back with more right after this.
Here's why you need personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh on your side. He understands the way the jury thinks. In the context of a personal injury case, you have been hurt by someone else's negligence. The idea is that you're going to try to recover so that you can get back to where you were just prior to that incident occurring. What that really means from a jurist's perspective is that you're going to be asking them to award you money. So when we talk about fairness, we're talking about six people that you don't know. Those six people hear evidence and make a unanimous decision that will decide what the fair value is. When you're the one that's hurt, you have a good idea what you think it's worth. The question is, can you persuade those other individuals, whom you don't know and weren't witnesses, to believe that's what the case is worth? Kevin Flesh understands the way the jury thinks. Call now for a free consultation, 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
The Outdoorsman's Attic is Colorado's very own outdoor gear consignment store. From live bait to lanterns, firearms to ammo, packs to sleeping bags, all the fishing gear you could ever hope for. And if you need some decoys for the waterfowl season, stop into the Outdoorsman's Attic. Hey, this is Scott Watley here again for my friends at the Outdoorsman's Attic, and they've got hunting, fishing, and camping gear with huge savings up to 70%. You'll find new and pre-owned items to choose from, and since the inventory changes daily, hey, this is a store you need to stop in at least a couple of times a week. Reviews, here's what a few of their customers have said. Cody says, hey, two floors of pure outdoorsman paradise. Mickey said, I love this place. Great small business, family owned and run, lots to look at and good prices. Amy says, if you need good camping and outdoor gear, go here first. Support a local small business. Such great finds. Everyone is so nice and helpful. So save big. Get to the Outdoorsman's Attic today on all of your outdoor gear. 2650 West Hampton Avenue in Sheridan. Tell them Scott sent you.
Thinking rates are too high to buy a home? Wish they were in the threes or fours? Well, your wait is over. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With a 3-2-1 buy-down, you can now purchase a home at 3.193% first year, 4.913% second, 5.913 the third, and the remaining years at 6.913 with an APR of 6.985. If rates go down, refinance and save even more. On a $400,000 loan, your monthly payment would be over $748 a month less the first year, $511 the second, $262 the third, with a total savings of over $18,000. Before you buy, take AIM, 720-895-0500. 3-to-1 buy-downs available up to 95% loan-to-value. If you're thinking about home ownership, now may be the best time to purchase. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500. Own your new home and save thousands in payments. That's 720-895-0500. 80% LTV, 30-year fixed, 6.985% APR, 740 FICO, primary home, rates as of 11/16, NMLS 298191, and rates subject to change.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back. You're listening to Haystack Help Radio and a special edition of Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Once again, Kurt's number, 720-895-0500. AIMortgage.net is the website. Now, Kurt, you mentioned earlier about the 30-year mortgage rates and versus a 10-year treasury.
Correct.
So explain that on layman terms now. I'm a little slower than you with the math, all right? So help us out with that.
Okay, the 10-year treasuries are like mortgage-backed securities, is where people invest their money. It's a treasury. You invest, you want a rate of return. That rate of return, if you go back, let's go back 35 years. In 1991, the treasury, 10-year treasury, was paying 8%.
Okay.
Which means rates were basically 1.75, 2% over at 10%, 10 to 11%. Okay, as we go through time, and we've had this conversation numerous times before. When we're down in the 3%, people are thinking they're coming back to that rate. That's the lowest it's ever been in history. When they started doing mortgages, which were 15-year, the lowest rate you could get at that time, 19, I think it was 48, was 5.5%. That's the lowest rate you could get. We had rates that were under 3%. Now, that was caused because the government reached in and purchased the bonds to make that happen. But if you go till now, and you look at it all the way from 1991 all the way down to 2020, the 10-year treasury was going down and the rates were going down. The value on your money to be able to get was decreasing from 8% down to the 1%. If you go back 2020, a 10-year treasury was paying 1%. Why? Because interest rates were zero. So you could make 1% on your money. But now, when it changed and inflation took hold, treasuries, you can go out and get paid roughly 5% on $100,000. You take $100,000, put it in the bank, somebody's going to give you 5% on it. Well, why would I have a mortgage rate at 5% if that's the most? Where's the profit to the bank that's doing the loan?
Sure.
So those numbers have to, they've always been 1.75 to 2% higher. What's changed is they're now 3% higher for the last 6-8 months. There's, if you're looking at the Treasury, it's 4%. Interest rates are right at 7. So it's actually crossed it for the, and again, a lot of that's because of what the Feds did and inflation got out of control. So as inflation comes under the control, the 10-year T-bills, as I call them, are going to come down in what they're paying, as so does rates. Because you can't have high T-bills and low rates. It works just the opposite. So when we say that the Fed's raising the interest rates affects mortgages, no, this affects mortgages, which are rates, or which are inflation and the CPI. And I mentioned that earlier in the first segment. That's what's controlling it. And try to remember that it goes over the last year. A year ago, inflation was higher than it is now. And it's going to take till March before we start to see those numbers changing. That's great news. There's some negative parts about that, but that's great news. If you're thinking of buying a home in March or April or May, or you want to do a new build, there's some things that are out there that we're going to talk about that are wonderful, because I believe that's going to happen, because it's happened for the last 35 years.
Right. And that was kind of my next question. Folks are listening. They're like, man, should I just wait a year to buy a house? Or, I mean,
you'll pay more. Okay. And that we're going to have that in next week's conversation, because there's a misbelief about what's going on in the housing market and depreciation and the number of foreclosures. There's statistics out there now that prove that totally wrong. And if rates come down, that market's not going to slow down. We are currently at a 4 to 4.5% appreciation ratio now, with rates at 6 to 7. And those rates come down, that appreciation is going to go up, because the demand is still greater than the supply. But that's a whole segment I'm going to talk about next week.
Okay. Put us on the edge of our seats. All right. I heard they raised the conforming loan rates. So before we explain that, explain for maybe those that don't know what a conforming loan even is.
Conforming loan is what 80% of the mortgages are. Meaning which that 80% of the loans that are out there on the books, that is the dollar amount of what the homes are selling for in that area. They went from 647.2 to 726.2. That's a 12% increase.
Wow.
Now, that just talks about the appreciation. And that's 80% of what it really is, that 12%. So if you're looking at a $900,000 house, you could put 20% down and get a conforming limit. Why is that important? Because that's where the banks max out their best profit for the most reasonable customer that's going to make those payments. Those are the people that are jumbo loans. Loans that are higher than that have a higher risk and a higher cost. Banks loan money strictly on risk. You may not think you're a risk, but banks look at the algorithms of how they get their money, and they see things that are a risk. For example, a lower FICO score means they have more chance of risk with the loan. Cash out when you're refinancing means they have risk with a loan. A townhome versus a single family means there's risk with the loans. Those are risk factors that can cause the rates to go up. Well, when they're raising the amount of you can borrow, you're able to save an interest rate, which is a good thing. Whether you use it all or not doesn't matter. So you're going to have, you can have a lower interest rate at 7.26 than you could a month ago. So it allows you, if you want to refinance, you can get more money. If you had a jumbo loan, you could refinance now and lower your rate. So that's some of the advantage of it. It also opens up, where rates are now, more loan programs. And we just had a commercial that I talk about one of them, and it's called the 3-2-1 buy-down. There are loan programs out now. ARMs are becoming much more effective.
Mm-hmm.
Because you couldn't, when rates were 3%, what are you going to do on an ARM? 2? No. Why would you do an ARM at 2 when you can get a 30 at 3?
Right.
But now they're different. You have a fixed at maybe 6.5 to 7, but your ARM might be 6. Well, on the amount of money you're borrowing, that has an effect. That's helpful. They couldn't be used before. One of the biggest things we're seeing with people buying homes are 3-2-1 buy-downs,
mm-hmm.
or a 2-1 buy-down. And you're seeing, because the sellers are being a little bit more negotiable on their price. And I'm going to do a little sidetrack now so
that's okay.
People don't take this wrong. Homes are not depreciating. What's changed in them, if you had a house that was worth $600,000 and you sold it for $680,000, that customer brought what was called an appraisal gap. So they brought the extra $80,000
right.
plus the 20% on the $620,000 in order to get the loan, because the appraisal was still $600,000, but you paid $680,000. Well, now that house is appraising for $600,000 and selling for $600,000. It didn't depreciate $80,000 or 10%. Some of the naysayers will say, well, homes are down 10%. No, they're not. They're down 10% from the inflated price that they were at. The appraised figure didn't change. So that's what we're seeing, and I'm going to give you more stats next week on how that's taking effect. It's still going up 4%. Hmm. So when you factor that number in, it helps you save money on a 3-2-1 buy-down. A 3-2-1 buy-down, let's say you have a $600,000 loan, and your rate's 6.5%. Well, the first year, your payment's going to be at 3.5%. It's not an ARM. It's not an adjustable. It gives you a set payment at 3.5%.
Right.
Then it goes to 4.5% on that payment. Then it goes to 5.5% on the third year. And then the fourth year, it goes to the normal rate. There's a couple of interesting factors here. When the seller agrees to pay that commitment for you to have the 3-2-1 buy-down, that money that it costs to do that is put into a little bucket, let's mm-hmm. say. It just sits there. So if you're getting 3.5% now and rates, like I said, go down in a year and they come down to 4 or 5, you could lock in, let's say, at 4.5 to 5% in a year to 2 years. So you're never going to pay the 6.5. That bucket of money that is sitting there is used proportionately, meaning which, let's say it's $15,000. In the first year, you use 5 of it. In the second year, you want to go, because rates have been dropped, you want to use it and refinance. Well, you got $10,000. It's your money to pay the finance cost. So it costs you nothing to refinance to get that fixed rate down around 4.5 to 5%. A lot of people are starting to see that, understanding that rates are going to go down. So they're taking advantage now of buying the home, again, because prices are lower. They're taking advantage of that, getting a 3.5 to 4% rate payment, And then in a year when it changes, they'll refinance to the fix, take the money out of here, and it costs them nothing.
But see, it takes somebody like you, which I don't know anybody else like, that really understands all that, and to sit down and explain to people, you know, what's going on. Because I'm not going to name a bank as an example, but I can't figure out walking into some just banking institution and have a person sit down and talk like this to somebody. I don't think they're going to find that in these places.
I believe they may find it. It's just the way I believe that the customer has the right to know, what are your options? Mm-hmm. My job is not to, when I'm talking with a customer, to pick the loan for them. That's not my job. What do you want? What do you need? What fits with what you're going after? My job is to show you those. I'll talk to you about other ones that I think might fit. If you don't choose, it's okay. My compensation doesn't change. All I get paid whatever. It's the same. My job is to find the right loan for you, because if you're in the right loan, you're not going to call me back in 6 months and say, you took advantage of me and I'm out of here. I don't need that. It's just, it's not
sure.
It's not the way, in my opinion, to do business.
Yeah. No, and you've proven that over all these years.
It's just not. There are loans out there that you can take advantage of that can really help you, especially now, because prices, you now have homes that are selling for, let's say that $600,000 house, there are some people paying $634,000, $30,000 over. That's still happening on the right home, mm-hmm. in the right area, in great condition. But what we're seeing is a lot of homes that need TLC. Some need a total gut and replenish, but we call it TLC. A little tender loving care, paint, new cabinets, maybe a new floor, little things. Well, those homes are now, you have more negotiation. So if you're willing to put in a little sweat equity, there are some great buys out there. I have one across the street from me. The guy, he totally fixed up. This needs a little bit more work, but this is a great buy for the money, because they were selling in my neighborhood, you know, at 680 to 720. You can buy this house a whole lot less than that now, and it's been remodeled.
Really?
Needs just a little bit more. So there's advantages out there if you're looking for them, especially on these 3-2-1 buy-downs or a 2-1 buy-down. And you can do that on a conventional loan, which is conforming. You can do it on a VA loan. And now think about that. VA does 100%. I don't have to bring any money to the table. I get a 3-2-1 buy-down. So if my start rate is 6 on a VA, I'm actually paying 3, and I don't put any money down.
That works.
I mean, I look at those numbers and go, I can't buy a VA because I have a primary. I can't use it to buy an investment. What a great deal that is. And you can also do it on FHA. So there's plenty of opportunities to buy homes, even if you're a first-time home buyer. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that on the next segment, because there's some great deals for them.
You're listening to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. Kurt's number, 720-895-0500. We'll be right back.
Do you know what direction the stock market will go? Nope, no one does. But it's extremely important to discover the tools you can use if the market goes up, down, or sideways. These same tools could be used for income strategies or long-term wealth strategies. Text the word investing to the number 210-210 and join us for a free investing class right here at OTA. Text the word investing to the number 210-210 today. Also, check out the podcast, Investing and Trading Live, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Before we get back to our guests, let me tell you about Stack Optical, and I just want to say a personal word of thanks to Alan for taking care of me, my wife Victoria, and our optical needs, and many friends that we've sent there, and Alan has been doing a great job there. Family-owned and operated since 1968 is Stack Optical, and it's only $69 for an eye exam, so call them today, 303-321-1578, and mention you heard them here on KLZ 560, and we'd appreciate that. But hey, if you're looking for some new glasses, they've got a great selection of frames. If you need contacts, maybe you've broken your glasses and you need repairs, it's a one-stop shop, so to speak, at Stack Optical. Hey, it's free parking, easy parking at their location right off Monaco and Evans, 2233 South Monaco Parkway, 303-321-1578. StackOptical.com is a website. Check it out. And as I always say at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference.
This is KLZ 560, your home station.
Welcome back to Your Money Matters, brought to you by Affordable Interest Mortgage. My name is Scott Watley. Kurt Rogers is with us, owner of Affordable Interest Mortgage. Once again, Kurt's number, 720-895-0500. Just a quick note I'll mention real quick. Hey, we'll be at the International Sportsman's Expo Thursday through Sunday with our Sportsman of Colorado Radio. We'll be doing a live show there Thursday, noon to 1 during our normal Haystack Hour, but we'll be there Thursday and Friday, noon to 1, doing a show, and we'll be there every hour it's open. Our booth is 239C, and that's Sportsman of Colorado Radio. So if you want to come to the expo, I tell you what, we'll even give away a pair of tickets, all right? Compliments of Affordable Interest Mortgage. So we'll give away a pair of tickets. Give us a call, 303-477-5600. Give Charlie your information, and I'll get you a pair of tickets at will call there. But give Charlie your information, and I'll give you a call after the show. So, Kurt, thank you for sponsoring those tickets.
Very willing to do so.
All right. Thank you, sir. All right. Hey, a few weeks ago, you brought up this first-time home buyer. And all these years, we've been doing this show, I assumed, which you know what that means, that literally meant that, a first-time home buyer.
Never had a house before
in
their life. Yeah.
Wow, and you shed some light on my knowledge. So
that is not what bankers classify as first-time home buyer. First-time home buyer is anybody who has not owned a home or been on a title to a home within the last 3 years. So 1 year prior to COVID, if you haven't owned a home, you're good to go.
Okay.
You may have owned eight of them before then, but right now you'd be a first-time home buyer. And there are several first-time home buyer programs. There is one that's called Home Ready, one that's called Home Possible, another one that's called Borrower Smart Program. They're designed to help those with limited credit history, with limited income, get into a home. Because understanding the economy does a whole lot better when 67 to 68% of the people own homes.
Own homes, yeah.
It just helps the economy. The flow of money works a whole lot better. The banks understand that, and so does the government. Now, they have some special first-time homebuyer programs and some down payment assistance programs that work. But when you're doing a first-time homebuyer program, you only have to put as little as 3% down. And you can get that with no mortgage insurance at a very competitive rate. Now, It doesn't matter what your credit score is. It doesn't matter what the loan-to-value is. It doesn't matter what the property type is. Remember when I talked about risk? Those are risk factors to a lender.
Sure.
Because it's a first-time home buyer, they don't count them. You can't make too much money. You can't make $150,000 a year. Won't qualify for that. But that's about the only restriction you have. In addition to that, as a first-time home buyer, you can get the 3-2-1 buy-down. So if I'm going to buy a home with 3%, and let's say my interest rate again is 6.5, I'm going to be at 3.5. That first year I'm in it. So as a first-time home buyer, I'm going to be paying less than I'm paying for rent by a lot.
A lot, yeah.
A lot. And then in year two, it goes up a little bit. I'm still going to be paying less than I'm paying in rent. And I don't have to worry about it going up because within 2 years, your rate's going to be closer to where you're at. You have the cash built into that buy-down to refinance, and you now own a home. And you put very little money down to get into it, and you're earning the equity.
Now, when you're in that program, let's say year three, let's say some miracle happened and rates do go down or something. Like, can you do anything, refinance?
Yeah, you refinance and take that bucket of money that's still sitting there, and that pays your closing costs, and you miss a payment or two, and you move right into a fixed year, and you're done. So it allows you to get into that with almost no money out of your pocket. Now, let's say you need some help. You want some down payment assistance. There's several different down payment assistance company I work with, about six, but the three best are Chaffa, Chack, and Chenoa. Those three.
What is
Chaffa,
that? Okay.
Chack, and Chenoa. Don't ask me what the acronyms mean.
Okay.
I don't remember all of them. But these are three of some of the best down payment assistance programs. What they will do, again, credit score, you can be in the low 600s and qualify for these. You can have a 50% debt-to-income ratio and qualify for these. But what they allow you to do is they will give you up from 3% up to $25,000 in down payment assistance. Some of them will give it to you at a 3% loan amount. Again, because I'm in the industry, I ran those numbers. If I'm borrowing $25,000 for down payment, and it's at 3% for 360 months, that's a payment of $84 a month. I can't get my first mortgage at 3%. But the second mortgage, it's my down payment, I can get at 3%. It's $84 a month. And then you can do the 3-2-1 buy-downs. Then you can buy any property you want. So you're going to, with the down payment assistance programs, these are relatively new. They weren't as popular when rates were as low. They're extremely popular now because you, those of you that are renting, your rent keeps going up. And your landlord doesn't always take care of the property.
It ain't helping you a lick, is it?
No, it's not. And think about it this way. You're not putting any money in the bank when you rent. You're paying somebody else's mortgage, and you're building their equity. Mm-hmm. When you do it to yourself, again, consider you only have to bring $1,000 to the table if you take the $25,000 grant. So you bring a grand, your payment's less than what you're paying, and you're making 4% on a $300,000 house. So you're making $12,000 a year just by making a payment less than what your rent is. Forget how much you're paying it down. That's just the appreciation of it. When you make that mortgage payment of, let's say, $2,000, $300 or $400 of it's buying your payoff down. So you're making another $3,000 or $4,000 on this end while you're making $12,000 on this end. So you're going to make $15,000 to $20,000 a year, and you're still paying less than your rent. And you didn't bring a whole lot of money to the table. So there are some great programs out now. Why are those effective? I mentioned this about 8 years ago, or 8 months ago. There were people that wanted to buy a house then, first-time home buyers who wanted to use these DPAs. They couldn't get in the game because they didn't have the appraisal gap.
Sure.
But I've had a bunch of them just sitting there. They're now in the, they're now out there looking at
now
homes.
Now in the queue, huh?
They're in the queue. And they're saying, I can paint the house. I can fix the yard. I'll buy that place. They're getting better buys. They're building their equity in the home. They're building appreciation. And they're not paying any more than they're renting. It's theirs.
Well, now, you mentioned something the other day I was in, and we were talking about a customer I'd sent you. And you were just talking about all the different options. And you were saying something about maybe a parent signing on a loan for someone, and it's called a non-occupying
co-borrower.
Co-borrower. Explain that.
Okay, non-occupying co-borrower, and I've had the most commonly one used is if a your high school graduate wants to go to college, and you want to get them a place where they're going to college. They can apply on the loan. You could be on the loan with them. You're not occupying it, but you're co-signing. The bank looks at your income, your debt ratios and everything, and they qualify that property as a owner-occupied for your son or daughter. So you get the better rates, you get into it, you put less money down. All the while, your child is developing credit because they now have a mortgage that they're in first position. Even if they work for Pizza Hut part-time, they're making money, they're establishing themselves. I've had several of those. I had one client had four kids, and each one went to college. He got each one of them. And when they turned, the kids wanted off, and they turned it into a rental, moved out somewhere else, and now they each one of them has a rental property that's paying for itself.
There's a lot better than renting them something, isn't it?
Yeah. Now they got passive income coming in. But a non-occupying co-borrower could be somebody that, because they went self-employed within the last year, and the bank won't count their income, they have a family member that will co-sign for them, count that income, they're in it. Even though they're making the money, the regulations say that you got to have a two-year history of self-employed. Right. You get a non-occupying co-borrower to come in. They can help you get that loan and get you started.
Man, that's awesome. Again, Kurt's number, if that's maybe something you need, give him a call, 720-895-0500. Mentioning self-employed. Man, it just when you hear that and you ask somebody, where do you work? Oh, I'm self-employed. Do you put your head down or do you go, okay?
I don't put my head down.
Here's the way we can help you.
Yes. In most cases, there are ways to help.
Okay.
Because Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac look at self-employers because of the regulations. There's a law that came out, and it's called TRID, ability to repay. You have to be able to prove that the income is guaranteed to come in. W-2 is normally salary is provable. They'll count that. When you're self-employed, you don't do that. Mm-hmm. You 1099 yourself. I understand that. So the banks can't count it unless you got a two-year history. Then they look at your tax returns and see what you're paying taxes on. But there are ways of looking at a tax return. There are ways of finding loans that you can make work to be able to buy whatever you want. Because most self-employed people make pretty good money. That's why they're self-employed. They control the cost of their expenses. So while they're doing that, they're buying more expensive homes, and they have the cash. There's ways I can look at your cash and count that all as income, and we don't care what your job does.
Hmm.
So self-employed, because I've been doing it for so long, there are different ways to find a loan. So don't think you can't get it. You may have to go through some paperwork. You may have to answer some questions.
Right.
But there are ways to look at a tax return and find income.
All right. So, folks, I'm telling you, maybe you've been told, no, you can't get a house. No, you can't get a loan, whatever. While that may be the case, I'm telling you, it's worth it to give Kurt a call, 720-895-0500. Just sit down with him, show him what you've got, and let him see if he can figure out the right loan for you. And we're not putting you in something bad by any means, and I've known Kurt for many, many years, and again, our exclusive mortgage lender with Haystack Help and everything we've ever done. But I promise you, if there's a way to help you, he will. So again, his number is 720-895-0500. Now, is refinancing as a whole, is that for most people put on hold for right now with just the way the rates are, or is there still some reasons people might want to look at refinancing?
You bring up a great question, because many of the folks that might consider refinancing, normally February, March, and April are pretty good refinance months because people want to pull cash out. I'm going to let you know something you're not going to like to hear here in just a second. But that's not the case right now, because people have loans at 3.5%. On a refinance, they're going to jump up to 6.5%.
Right.
So it's like, why would I do that? There are solutions to that. If you want to know them, I don't do those loans.
Okay.
But I can show you where you can get them, and they can help you out for the cash out. What's changing? Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, who control the risk. Remember I said there was risk in loans.
Mm-hmm.
And they have fees for these risks. Starting in March, they're not going to allow you to refinance and pull cash out after a year, meaning which, if you do a loan on March 1st of 2023 and in December of 2023 you need cash out, you can't refinance it under a conforming FHA or VA loan if you're wanting cash out. They will not do the loan starting in March. They don't want you to take the cash out.
What caused that?
But they think there's a risk to it. So because of that, you're going to start to see that change. So if you're thinking of getting cash out of your home now,
you better
give me a call. I'll show you how you can do it. I'm not talking about refinancing your home. I'm going to show you another way that you can do that. There's two of them for you. Hmm. But that's coming. The lenders are they're kind of a little shaky knees about what they think is going to happen.
Okay.
So they're just trying to protect themselves. I don't agree with it. But they don't listen to me. They never pick up the phone and call me and ask me my opinion.
Kurt, what do you think?
No, they don't do that. So that's something you need to pay attention to. But what we're seeing as rates start to come down, you're going to see more people, because the average homeowner has $92,000 worth of equity in their home. $92,000. So on a $600,000 house, that's plenty of money to reach in and take about $30,000, $40,000. Those folks want to do it for whatever reason. They may want to be taking a trip. They may have emergencies that they need the money for. That's money that they pay for. They should be able to do it.
Sure.
So
that's interesting.
There's ways to go about doing that.
All right. A few more minutes here with Kurt Rogers. We'll take our last break and be back with more with Your Money Matters right after this.
Turn a normal day into an adventure on an e-bike. Hi, I'm Randy Caranci, founder of eBike of Colorado. E-bikes are a fun way to ride around town. Just try it. Pedal Assist technology flattens the steepest hills. We have 14 major brands to choose from, and our expert staff will find you the perfect bike. Come take a free test ride at eBike of Colorado in downtown Louisville, next to the historic grain elevator. Open 7 days a week from 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. Learn more at ebikeofcolorado.com. Just try it.
Choosing Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center almost 20 years ago was one of the best decisions we ever made for our pets. Hey, this is Scott Watley, and I know it's a busy time of the year for all of us, but it's no reason to forget about our pets. Our pets are a part of our family, and they need their checkups and preventative care just as we humans do. Whether a pet is new to the family or has been a family member for many years, regular checkups are the foundation of our pet's overall health. Depending on your pet's age, a preventative care visit will include the basics, such as an exam and vaccinations, diet and weight management, and parasite preventatives. But it could also involve a spay or neuter discussion, microchipping, concerns about house training or behavior issues, At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, the medical team will take the time to get to know your pet and address the concerns you have about your pet's care. It's what your pet deserves, and it's good medicine. Whether your pet needs medical, dental, or surgical care, boarding, grooming, behavior training, pet foods, or pet care products, you'll find it at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, the place where my pets go. Call today, 303-708-8050. That's 303-708-8050. And don't forget to visit their website at LoneTreeVet.com.
Welcome back to Colorado's largest outdoor show, Thursday through Sunday at the Colorado Convention Center. Buy the latest gear. Learn from experts in fishing, hunting, and outdoor recreation. This is the place to discover your next adventure, nearby or around the world. Your life outdoors at the International Sportsman's Expo, Thursday through Sunday at the Colorado Convention Center. More info at sportsexpos.com.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Haystack Help Radio and Your Money Matters. If you're just joining us, Kurt Rogers is our guest. Affordable Interest Mortgage, 720-895-0500 is the number. And a few more minutes with Kurt. So, Kurt, in our last few minutes, I can't let you get out without talking about the Asset Manager Loan, one of your favorite loans and favorite for many. It has helped many, many people. So tell us about it.
It's one of my favorite loans because of what it can do for the consumer. It can protect them from all kinds of things, rising rates, lowering rates. It allows you to, what I call, be mortgage safe. It's almost impossible to lose your home even if you don't make mortgage payments with this. You can't. You can go 18 months without making a mortgage payment, putting money into the bank to make the mortgage payment. The mortgage payment gets paid out of your equity. Because it's a simple interest loan. And what that means is as your payoff goes down, your payment goes down. As you pay less money to own the home, you pay a lower interest rate, and you own the home faster. When you look at a standard mortgage, in most cases, it's anywhere from 70 to 85% of what you're borrowing, $500,000. $400,000 of it is going to be interest. So you're going to pay $900,000 back to own a $500,000 home, and that's at a conservative interest rate. The asset manager, you're paying less interest. So instead of paying maybe 4 or 5%, you're going to pay closer to 2 or 3% effective interest because that's all the interest you pay to own the home. That's one of the advantages. The other advantage is it treats money that you put into the account like you're putting it into a savings account. Okay. So if the loan, if you have an extra $20,000 sitting over here that's doing nothing and you put it into this loan, they're basically going to pay you by saving you on your payment the interest of, let's say, 6 or 7% on that $20,000. They're going to apply it to the principal, lowers the payoff, lowers the payment, lowers the interest.
For as long as that's in there.
As long as it's in there. And that money's still available. So instead of sitting over here in a savings account, you're basically putting in a savings account type feature with your asset manager. And it comes with a checking account. Every dollar you put into it, all of it goes right to principal. None of it ever goes to interest. So you're always paying the loan down faster. But the feature that has helped so many people since 2007 that I have is that you have a line of credit. If you start the loan with, let's say, your original loan amount's $400,000 and you pay it down to $3,000 and you need money for a home repair, you don't need to go requalify or anything. Just write a check. You have a line of credit for up to 30 years of $400,000. You pay it to zero, you got a line of credit for $400,000. You need $100,000 to buy an investment property? Boom, pull it out. Let the renter make that payment back. You want to travel? You got an emergency, medical emergency. You want to send a kid to school? That money's available, and you guys, whoever owns the loan, they get to make the decision on what to do with that money. You don't have to. How many times have you gone to the bank when you need money and they told you no? Well, now you're your own bank. You need the money, write the check, for whatever the reason. Now, if you're not financially disciplined, this is not your loan.
Right.
What I mean by that is, if you're going along and you have extra money, like $50,000, and you decide, I want a Harley Davidson, great idea. If you weren't planning on it, don't spend the $50,000 on a Harley. If you were, okay, that's the better way to do it. But it's not, you just don't spend the money because it's there. Because I've owned my home a couple times, taken the money out, done other investments, and turned around and paid it back off. It's a great way to work. And it's been around since 1965. It is not new. And it is not too good to be true, because I got hundreds of customers you can talk to that will tell you. They call me up almost monthly. A lot of them say, thanks for the loan, Kurt.
Right.
It helped me so much do what we needed to do through COVID.
And just to bring this up, you don't have to change anything about your kind of normal spending habits.
No.
And we've said this a million times, but it's worth saying again, because most of the time, if you're presented with something, hey, to pay this off early, you're going to have to cut back on some other things.
No. I have a spreadsheet that I walk you through, and I show you we're not going to change one penny of your current spending habit. You put in X in your checking account, you spend Y, whatever's left over Z, do the same thing with this loan, and you'll pay off the home in most cases under 15 years. So it's basically a 15-year mortgage with a 30-year payment.
Yeah. Now, where can you help people if they have a residence wherever?
Arizona.
Okay.
Wyoming.
And Colorado.
And Colorado. Well, yeah, Colorado.
Yeah, okay.
Colorado. Arizona, Wyoming. Now, if you need help in other states, I've got plenty. My daughter works in Nevada,
sure.
California,
okay.
And Washington. But, yeah.
Folks, I'm telling you, Kurt can be a wealth of knowledge for you. He will sincerely help you find the right loan for you, help you. Hey, if you've got some credit issues, he can show you. He's not in the credit repair business, but I promise you, he can sit down with you, show you a few tips to maybe help you over 3, 6, 9 months, a year, whatever, get you to where you need to be. So, Kurt, as always, sir, we thank you very much, and we look forward to 2023, sir, and you have a disclosure.
I have a disclosure, but I want to talk about one thing. Do yourself a favor. If you're going to go out and apply for a loan, go to optoutprescreen.com and opt out for 5 years. Otherwise, you're going to get a lot of phone calls.
Okay.
Optoutprescreen.com. Opt out for 5 years, and you're going to be fine, because when you apply for anything in the next 5 years, you don't get a whole lot of calls.
I wanted to say that earlier. There's your consumer tip for the day. All
NMLS 298191, regulated by DORA.
Well, look at that. Very
simple
short
stuff.
Disclosure. Thank you very much, Kurt. Thank you for joining us. Hey, once again, get down to the International Sportsman's Expo this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Our booth is 239C for Sportsman of Colorado Radio. We'd love to see you and meet you, so come see us at the Convention Center. Thanks for being with us today for Your Money Matters.
The views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of Crawford Broadcasting, the station, management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.